Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Decoding the Unknown, the show where we decode the unknown. What happens here? One of my writers, in this case Katie, thank you Katie, has written me a script. The Box Saga, is history as we know it a lie? Excellent question. We're going to try and figure this out. I've never read this script before. That's the format of the show. And so we're going to learn something together. I've never heard of The Box Saga, probably because it's all a lie, unlike history, which is, not very accurately recorded, but more accurately recorded than someone's made up history, if I vaguely remember the pitch for this episode from Katie. Anyway, let's crack on. If you're a Whistleboy fan, that's me. You may know he absolutely loves his writers springing difficult or totally foreign words on him. Oh yeah, I love it, Katie. Brilliant. So glad I chose this one to record today. I've had limited success with supposedly helpful pronunciation guides, but thanks to the laid-back nature of the channel, it just adds to the charm. Yeah, let's say that. Let's say that it adds to the charm that I don't bother to look up any pronunciations. Most people are like, Simon, could you be less lazy? And my response is usually, well, normally there's no response. But no, I'm just like, no. It interrupts my enjoyment. I've mentioned it before, I don't want to be looking up like every bloody... Does this take place in Scandinavia? I think so. Did we read that already, or am I remembering that from the pitch? It doesn't matter. I'm going to be butchering some Scandinavian words today, and I'm totally okay with that. And if you're not, then don't watch or listen. It's okay. Oh, Simon, just throw away those views. We hope, anyway. Sorry if the mispronunciations make you gnash your teeth with barely contained rage every time a word is mangled. Yeah, also hashtag sorry not sorry. One commenter suggested finding some mysteries about Finland to talk about, as some of their words are dauntingly long and difficult looking. So yeah, sorry Simon, this one's got a couple in there, but I think you'll get away pretty lightly overall. Don't expect any help because I didn't even bother trying to work out how to say them, thanks to YouTube user Nonth606, which I also don't know how to pronounce, for suggesting this topic, or maybe we can both just let them take the fall for it if it evolves into a total shambles. Me the fall for it, Katie? You're the one who saw the topic, accepted it, and then I guess I did approve it and record it and then had the video made by Jen. Yeah, I guess it's on all of us, really, isn't it? But I'm mostly going to blame you, Nonth606. Because I don't know who you are, but thanks for the comments. This episode is about folklore, a family saga, an alternative explanation of human history, and a central character whose real life was as fascinating as his stories. Honestly, this sounds just like the Bible, doesn't it? An alternate version of history, 6,000 years ago, whatever it is, and a pivotal central character. Well, I guess there's two, God and Jesus. But is it the Catholics who believe that they're all one? What is it? The blood, the spirit, and the Holy Spirit? No, that's not it. That's obviously not it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They believe they're all one, which is a bit weird. And it's like the literal belief of them being the same person, which is weird. Also, the literal belief that it's Jesus's blood and Jesus's flesh that you're eating. If you literally believe that, you sick cannibal. I'm sorry, Catholics. Come for the buried treasure, stay for the autofellatio. Is that when you, yourself with your... It is, isn't it? Or don't. It's not obligatory. And if you don't know what that is, pretend we never said anything. Onwards. Well, kind of ruined that one, didn't I, Katie? An alternative history. Creation myths or stories about how the world was made can be found all over the place. Different countries and religions have their own versions of how humans came to be, generally being specifically related to the place or religion that's doing the telling. These are called creation myths. as they're just that, they're myths and folklore that can form a link to the past, mixing history with storytelling and strengthening the cultural identity of a group of people. Prior to the advent of writing and recording information, tales were passed on via the oral tradition, with people reciting stories to family members or large groups of listeners. These would then be told to other family members or taken to different parts of the country, and the stories would live on with every retelling. It's inevitable that most of these stories were not 100% faithfully repeated from person to person, or even by one person every single time they told it. Yeah, it's a problem with like oral traditions. It's like the Chinese whispers of history, and it's just gonna get ruined. I didn't really understand the game Chinese Whispers as a kid, because someone would always ruin it. You know, someone would start off with, you know, saying like purple bathrobe, and then it would end and it would be like monkey telephone, and you'd be like, wait, how did that happen? Because you're supposed to hear these really small changes, right? But then every single time the teacher or like whatever this was, like the kindergarten person would be like, all right, who changed it? And no one would put their hands up. And they'd be like, you know how this works, right? Okay, who heard purple bathrobe? Half the people in the group would put their hands up. Who heard like monkey telephone? And the, you know, the other half would put their hands up. And it's like, wherever that changes, I'd be like, well, all right, John, we know it was you, don't we? Well done, John. Go stand in the corner, John! New details crept in or left out, embellishments were made, and small things changed so that eventually the latest telling would differ quite significantly from the first. Of course, we can't take any of them seriously. There are far too many different stories about how humans came to be for any of them to be true, and of course they can't all be true. But hang on a moment, what if one particular story about the origins of the human race was true? And the story had remained unchanged due to the very sounds the words in the story made? What are you talking about? How can a story remain untrue due to the very sounds the words in the story made? Well, can't those sounds just change? I'm so confused. Are you confused, or do I just have a small brain? Should we all, in fact, be studying Boxsagan, or in English, the Box Saga, to better understand where we all came from? So here is the story. I'll start by laying out the details of the Box Saga without any little sarcastic remarks or anything like that, and then we'll find out more about the Bockmeister himself afterwards. Okay, that's what Katie promises you. I can try, but I absolutely cannot promise there will be no sarcastic asides, because I feel like at least 36% of this channel is me making sarcastic asides, which it either leads some people to be like, oh, it's so refreshing to hear someone who's a bit skeptical of all of this stuff, to the other side being like, Simon, why can't you just believe? Why can't you just, you know, sure, there's no evidence for it, but there's no evidence against it, Simon. And I'm just like, my brain is like, no, it works. Stop it. The fact that I make any reference at all to sarcastic remarks, however, kind of hints at my feelings towards the story, but never mind. Let's hear the man or the Bockmeister out. Bockmeister's such a great name. Any name that ends in Meister, Dude Meister, for example, is good with me. I think my nick, I'd love to have the nickname. Nickel name? What the f's a nickel name? Whistlemeister. The story has been passed down the Bockstrom family line for generations, as the man known as Eyal Bock was the last surviving member, it fell to him to recount it for the public record. It's been videoed, taped, and put into a book, but there are nearly 300 pages, and I ain't that dedicated to the story, so let's go for a bit of an abridged version of the apparent real story of the history of the human race. Katie, you know that putting something in air quotes, like, real. That is a sarcastic aside, Katie. That wasn't even me. It's in the script. When thinking of where human life began, you're probably going to think Africa. Well, according to the Box Saga, you're way off. You might not think that Finland would be the origin for human life on the planet, but there you go. It was. I know almost nothing about Finland, apart from the fact that they produce quite good Formula One drivers, and I probably would have a hard time if I was given 5 seconds to point that out on a map. Verstappen is not Verstappen. Oh god, what's his name? The guy Bottas. Bottas is Finnish, I believe. Because in that Drive to Survive TV show on Netflix, which is amazing and totally got me into Formula One, is they in his like off season or whatever, he goes to sauna, which feels very Finnish. He's either that or one of those other countries up there, like Sweden, Norway, Denmark, right? Denmark, is Denmark? Denmark's a bit further south. Oh my God, my geography. Kill me now. Sorry, Finland. Okay, I've looked it up and it now connects with Norway at its very north, Sweden at the northwest side, and Russia down the eastern side. Yeah, I know that Finland's the most far right one, right? Not politically, just like on the map. I suppose I should say far east one because it had that winter war with Russia. And I know that it's a bit, it's touching Russia. And with the whole, like, Russia having a war of aggression again. Russia being a bit like, I miss territory. Russia, don't you have enough? Look how massive you are. Look at any map, Russia. Vladimir Putin, go to Google Maps. You're already f***ing huge, Russia. I don't want to say it, but look at the UK. Look how small it is. It's a tiny island. And you're like, why did it want a third of the world? Because it was tiny. I'm not making excuses. Obviously, colonialism was wrong. It's called a joke. But also, f*** off, Russia. What a controversial and spicy statement, Simon. The south and southwest protrudes out into the Baltic Sea. Now that we've got that straight, forget anything you think you may know about the history of the world, and even evolution for that matter, because you're dead wrong. Think humans have evolved very gradually from a series of primates? Or maybe you believe that a deity created the first humans on Earth? Well, sorry to burst your bubble there, but in reality, or at least in the reality of the Bok saga, the first humans were created due to the mating of a male ape and a female goat. I mean, yeah, that works. You could see how that would work. That's why we don't have fur. Or fur. Fur? Hair. I mean, all over our bodies. Like a goat. Or an ape. Also, I don't think that apes and goats are going to be able... It's not like a horse and a donkey making a mule, or like a lion and a tiger making a liger. These are... I don't think they're sexually compatible, if that's the right word. It's probably not the right word, is it? Yeah, not sure about that either, but hey, it's the story, so it must be true. And it wasn't a few hundred thousand years ago, or even a million or so, or two. It was over 50 million years ago. This frankly bizarre union created the first two humans, Frey and Freya. They were born into a paradise on Earth near the North Pole called the Udenmar or Odenmar. This was your traditional paradise with lots of nice scenery and trees and shit, and the probable basis for the Garden of Eden. In fact, Udenmar was located in what is now Finland. The Bok saga explains how the Earth used to be oriented so that modern-day Helsinki used to be at the top of the world at the North Pole. Alrighty then. When the Earth was created, a large hole was blown into the magma layer under Helsinki, and over time, this became a treasure trove of enormous wealth featuring gold, jewels, statues. What? I mean, I understand the geology. It's like, yeah, what came out of there? Gold, jewels, like stone, you know, diamonds and shit. And also statues. Finished statues. Some Statue of Liberty, that one of David, some other famous statues, a big one of Buddha. Just like rolling out of there. Offerings to the Finnish gods and artifacts documenting human history. Oh, I see. It's like, where did all this fake history come from? Magma. It burst out of the earth in magma. Oh my God, whoever came up with this was smoking whatever crack they had back then. The first people on Earth were divided into two groups, the Asa and the Vana. Unfortunately, shortly after they made an appearance, the Ice Age started dividing the two groups for millions of years when the Asa got stuck in Udenmar and the Vana just did their thing in the rest of the world. These Vana people eventually split into different races with different languages and their own cultural histories. When the ice finally started the thaw and retreat, the humans who had proliferated in the intervening years were now in danger of being flooded out. Can we call them humans? They're half ape, half goat. I don't know what that would look like, but it's not... It's... I feel like, you know that there's that new technology or whatever, the DALL-E. DALL-E 2, which you type in a prompt, like Simon reading a script, and it will give a picture of Simon reading a script. And it's just like, holy shit. It's incredible. If anyone in the audience has access to that, hit me up with a half human, a half ape, half goat. And maybe we can swap out the thumbnail for that. I want access to that DALL-E 2 just so I can make stupid thumbnails. I applied, but apparently there's a massive waitlist. Yo, DALL-E 2, if you're listening, hook me up. These Vanna people eventually split into different races with different languages and their own cultural histories. When the ice finally started to thaw and retreat, the humans who had proliferated in the intervening years were now in danger of being flooded out. Luckily for them, the Asa had spent their time in isolation. Ah, clever. Becoming extremely smart and built boats so that they and their animals could survive the floods. If this sounds familiar, you can thank the Box Saga for providing the influence for Noah's Ark. There may be another connection with a well-known story too. The period when the Asa were basically iced in was known as Altlandis, or all land ice. During the millions of years they were trapped, they created agricultural and knowledge systems in the Arctic, finally emerging as a pale race with blue or green eyes. Think about it, and Altlandis is really quite similar to Atlantis. Could the lost city have been in Finland all along? Gonna say no. The Asa that made it through the Ice Age then sent three main families to explore, teach, and populate the areas of Eurasia around Finland, and one of these families was the Bockström, of which Igor Bock was the last remaining member. The Asa were hugely influential in Europe, guiding the building of various civilizations and transferring their beliefs into the pagan beliefs that humans held prior to the arrival of religions like Christianity. They were apparently behind the creations of the pharaohs Moses, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus' parents, among others, so they were really nothing if not inclusive. Jesus' parents. So you mean Mary and fucking God. This guy, who's like, who comes up with this? And then passes it down generations of their family, some made-up crazy story. It's like, why? Don't do that. It's like me just making up some crazy-ass story and telling it to my kids and being like, and it is true, and you must tell your kids. They're gonna get bullied. They're definitely going to get bullied at school for that. When they made it onto the global scene, the Asa wanted to unite humanity with a common knowledge, so a system was set up that hung on the sounds of the Swedish and Finnish languages. All sounds were symbolic and had their own meanings, and the symbols used were not actually made up by humans, but were instead based on a mathematical system of 1 and 0, also known as Polen Ring or Staven Circle. Therefore, when Arbok told the saga of his family history, it was not possible for a mistake or changes to be made, as each sound is part of a matrix of meaning called the root language. Okay. That still sounds like you could make a mistake by getting a 1 or a 0 wrong, no? As Carl Borgen, who has written extensively on the Box Saga, puts it on his website, since the meaning of sounds are fixed and cannot be altered, the saga can be passed on to the next generation without any changes in its purest form, just as mathematics is the language in which their natural cohesion between numbers is described and can thus be passed on, so is the root language the natural means of describing the Box Saga. What? It can't be changed. We just said it can be changed. What are you talking about? So Eilbock was told the story of the real history of the world by his mother and aunt in sessions of 2 hours a day over a period of about 20 years. Oh my God, the commitment. Is that why you're going... Hey, what are you doing after school today, mate? We're going to go ride bikes or whatever people in Finland do, like ski. I'm sure they ride bikes as well. It's just a normal country. I'm sorry, Finnish people. So they're going, wait, oh, we're going to go ride bikes. And he's like, nah, mate, I got to go home and study the made up history for 2 hours. It's like, oh, come on, you've been doing that for like 20 years. I know, he's like, we're almost done. Then I got to start teaching it to my children. Well, when organized religions such as Christianity started becoming more popular, the descendants of the Asa ended up taking their more pagan beliefs and rituals into hiding as they were being suppressed by the church. In fact, the saga was passed on in secret from about 1248 AD until Eilbock revealed it in the 1980s. It also ties in heavily with Finnish mythology, especially the Kalevala, which is an epic poem collected and published for the first time in 1835. This is a famous example of Finnish literature, and one of the heroes in the story is a youth called Lemminkäinen. He has various different tasks to do in order to win a bride and ends up dying in the attempt. His mother finds his body and in some tellings manages to revive him. In the Box Saga, there is a temple to Lemminkäinen that was closed up in the year 987 to protect it from those meddling Christians and other invading groups. It's here that wealth beyond belief is stored. It can be found in Finland, in a place called Sipu, which was handily on Box's estate. Oh my God, what a coincidence. But this crazy dude has an estate? Normally, I guess there's a reason like people have listened to him at some point, right? Because it honestly sounds like the ramblings of, You know when you're just walking around the street and you're like, what is that? There's some, like, I was just walking down the street the other day and there was some dude who was clearly like on meth or Pervitin or whatever it is here. And it's just like, he's walking along and his trousers are like, he's just talking to himself loudly, walking down the street. And his trousers are like so low that most of his ass is exposed. And it's like, the only reason he hasn't been arrested is because they're just above his genitals. And he's like, just walking along like a crazy person. And what I'm trying to say, I don't know why I'm describing this in such depth. It was just such a shocking sight. You're like, oh, hello. Why are you half naked? Just it is the middle of the day. What I'm trying to say is that's the normal sort. That's the sort of person that I'd expect this story to come out of. Not a guy who has an estate. Because as we all know, rich people are better. It's not my point. It's just there's more crazy people like ranting. Right, like the dude with his trousers just above his penis, right? Digging a hole, Simon. One other notable thing in the saga is the obsession with fertility rites and not wasting your sacred water or seeds of life. AKA, you're ejaculate. Yes, Katie, we knew. In a somewhat abrupt left turn, Bok details that he was taught how to drink his own semen via autofellatio from the age of 7. That is called child abuse, Eeyore. What was his name? Not Eeyore. That's the guy from Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore. With the help of also learning yoga, the Bok called this position sauna salmo or sauna knot. And yep, you basically cross your legs behind your head and get to it. Oh my god, that is not a nice image. There are some photos to be found online of Bok demonstrating the position, but luckily he keeps his trousers on, at least in the ones I've seen. The recycling of sperm was apparently totally the thing to do to increase your fertility and brain power. Women could also do it, but thankfully, they were allowed to use a straw. What the fuck is going on? What is this nonsense? So to wrap it up, the Bok saga proclaims that humans have been around for over 50 million years and originated in Finland when an ape had sex with a goat. It may seem utterly bonkers, but there was a period when the Bok saga had quite the following, and even to this day, people are convinced there is a treasure hoard in Sipu. But why? Well, we've had the myth and the legends. Now let's have a look at the man himself, Eeyore Bok. I guess it's a bit late to mention this, but Eeyore is the Finnish version of Eeyore, the donkey from Winnie the Pooh. So I guess you pronounce it a bit like that, or just Eeyore, like how it's written. Thanks, Katie. Really glad you put that here, rather than at the beginning. Helpful. I have and will continue to refer to our main man as Eeyore Bok, or Bok, as that's what he's called himself in later life. He was known in earlier times as Holger Svedlin, Bror Holger Svedlin, Eeyore Svedlin, and sometimes Eeyore Bokstrom Svedlin, before settling on the much more manageable Eeyore Bok. What are you up to? Why do you have so many names? Just have one name. If you believe him and the whole Bok saga timeline, I was conceived when, as other direct Asser ascendants were a bit thin on the ground, his grandfather, Sea Captain Nut Victor Bokstrom, impregnated his own daughter, Rhea, in 1941. What the fuck is this going on? What? This seems all very weirdly sexual. Like, why do we have to have autofellatio, bestiality, and, oh god, what's it called? Why can't I remember this word? Incest. Why do we have to have this all? It's so weird. You'd be like, yeah, my family is all from history. And also, tons of bestiality. I'm descended from an ape goat. I also suck myself off. And we also had to throw in some incest. We're just hitting all of that. Bing, bing, bing. All of the weird And this is the story that he's telling about himself. It's not like some sort of slander piece. It's like, no, no, no. I am the descendant of a ape goat fucking autofellatio family incest shit. Why? Why not make up a better story about yourself? Why not just leave out those details? It had already been foretold that a male member of the Bockstrom line would retell the saga in 1984, and Not Nut's son had been killed in the First World War, ending that branch of the family tree. Nut was an admirable 81 at the time, and because of this double Bockstrom lineage, Isle later designated himself a Super Bock. Rare was already married to a Bertel Svedlin, and to avoid awkward questions, Bertel officially adopted the baby, and thus the man who became known as R. Bock was born Holger Svedlin in 1942. He later called himself Brohr, and either later took up the Ior Bock moniker. Of course, the fact that there is documented proof of Bock's biological mother and formal adoption by the Svedlins in the Finnish National Archives doesn't matter much when you've got a good story to tell. Yeah, never let facts get in the way of a good story. It's a good rule. Personally, if I was his adopted mother, I'd be pretty hacked off at Bock for peddling this embarrassing origin story, but there you go. Holger, stop telling people I had sex with my dad, you weirdo. The family also adopted a 3-year-old boy called Eric, who became Isle's older brother. Thinking about this now, if Bock was adopted, he had no claim at all to any of this saga, as he wasn't a direct descendant of the Bockstrom family, and therefore the asses. Well, as with many aspects of this story, I guess, again, he didn't let the facts get in the way of a good yarn. During his formative years, Bock didn't go to traditional school, as he had to sit in silence for at least 2 hours a day, listening to and memorizing the family saga. That's what he said anyway. He was apparently sent away to a boarding school for a year when he was about 9, as his father, Bertel Svedlin, had died, and his mother was having difficulty with Isle's behavior. As a having difficulty with your children's behavior? Send them to boarding school! That's a solution! As a man in his 20s, Bock lived the swinging 60s lifestyle. His family did own various plots of land and were very well off, so he hosted parties that involved lots of music and sex, although he apparently refrained from excessive drinking. He was still drinking his own special juices throughout this time. Don't forget about that. He's like, I don't drink alcohol, I just drink my own semen. Okay. It's the seed of life. All right, Isle. You got a beer, mate. I'm not going to be drinking my own semen at your weird party. A tragic and slightly mysterious event then happens in 1962. Remember Isle's older brother, Eric? Vaguely. Sorry. According to the report Isle gave police at the time, he and Eric were listening to music and Isle was dancing about and decided to get their grandfather's gun to add a bit of spice to the dance. Just like, you know what made this dance better? Weaponry. Yes! Let's fire the guns into the air like a terrorist! After messing about with it, he threw it to Eric and it went off, shooting Eric through the chest and killing him. Eric isn't mentioned in the official Bock saga, but in later years, when talking about him to the followers he picked up, Isle Bock is documented as having said his brother shot himself while alone in his room. Eric was supposed to be getting married the following week, and there were no other witnesses to the event, so it's never been properly explained, and Isle was given 4 months probation, but the whole thing was written off as an accident. Some of his friends at the time shunned him, while others couldn't believe the gentle, soft-spoken boy could possibly hurt anyone. I mean, we don't know. But you got to assume it's an accident rather than him murdering his brother. They were just dancing around using guns. Traditional Finnish gun dance. Regardless of what really happens, R and Eric's mother had a memorial on what was supposed to have been the wedding day. Eric's fiance remembers seeing Isle whistling and tightrope walking between two trees, basically being an insufferable attention seeker when he should have been keeping his head down. That is not appropriate behavior, mate. What are you doing tight walking between two trees like boop, 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 boop? Maybe you did murder him, you psycho. His desire for the spotlight only increased as he got older. He took to the stage and acted and directed several productions in Swedish theaters in Finland. He really scratched his itch for showmanship coupled with history, however, when he became a tour guide in 1968, working at the Solmenlinna Sea Fortress, also known as Sveaborg, Bock could spin incredible tales for tourists, with 18th century history being his favorite topic. The Bockstroms were in real life a very historically, socially, and financially rich family, and had many examples of correspondence with key players in various wars and cultural happenings throughout the 1700s, so it's no real surprise that Bock had a lot of juicy stories to tell. It sounds like your family already has a super interesting backstory. Why do you need to fill it with bestiality and incest and weird inaccurate history? What are you doing? He was really good at it and much in demand, although his contract was terminated in 1984 when the management thought his stories were getting a bit out of control. During this time, he also travelled to London, England in the winters, where he probably got up to all kinds of shenanigans, and then from the mid-1970s, he travelled to Goa, India, where his transformation into some sort of hippie mystic guru began. Bock and his partner at the time, Claire von Frankel, were actually quite well known in Finland during this period, with their various comings and goings frequently mentioned in magazines and papers. So, They're basically like socialites, like rich 1970s or 80s or whatever, like hippie socialites. Okay. In Goa, Bok liked to spend time in a small village called Shapora, working on his stories for the coming summer's tour guide program and smoking cannabis. A lot of cannabis. Eventually, he built up a large group of followers in what might be called a cult, but his ultimate story, the Bok family saga, was still under wraps. It wasn't until his mother died in 1984 that Bok declared he had been tasked with delivering the Bok saga to the world and having it recorded for posterity. Unfortunately, the first time he tried to share the knowledge with an outside group of people, he was in Goa with a load of hippies taking LSD. Bok has said he never did LSD, not wanting people to think his somewhat hard-to-believe alternate history was in any way related to potentially mind-altering psychedelics. Dude, if you're in that situation, just be like, no, it was the psychedelics, because otherwise you're just crazy. Unluckily, though, some young Finnish people who had traveled over with Bok and von Frenkel had bad reactions to the drug, and the news got back to the Finnish press, causing a bit of a scandal and ultimately signaling the end of Bok and von Frenkel's relationship, as well as a shaky start for the veracity of his family's story. Surprising there, given that it's not true. We're all on the same page here, right? That this is just crazy. Later on in 1984, Bok managed to find a more sober audience, and he related the saga the first time in Swedish, where it was recorded on tape for the Finnish Folk Culture Archive. This was also the year that he was fired from his tourist guide post as his stories just started becoming too weird. Friends had a hard time having normal conversations with him, but to their surprise, Bok led a large group of hangers-on supporting him. Subsequent recordings of the saga were taken over the years, sometimes with more information than other times, with a book also published in Finnish in 1996. In 1987, Bok confirmed that the location of Finnish hero Lemminkainen's temple was under his own property in the village of Gumbostrand in the Sipoo municipality of Finland. Oh my god, what a coincidence! This was a cave full of amazing treasure, remember, so he got a team together and they raised funds to break through the rocks to find an entrance. Who is giving them funds? Please just tell me that this is Bok's family money, because otherwise he's got some real idiots to give, you know, he's got some idiots to give him money. Although it doesn't seem that hard. It's like, yeah, there's like, I don't know, it's just such a YouTube thing, but like the crypto NFT stuff, it's like idiots giving people money is not as uncommon as you might think, apparently. Over the course of about 10 years, Bok's followers made it about 50 meters into the cave, but no chamber or staircase or further door was found. Bok went bankrupt trying to fund excavations and also got in trouble in 1990 for drugs charges relating to LSD and hashish. Of course he did. This led to his largest sponsor pulling the plug on their part in the project, and Bok was left in a giant, literal, financial, and figurative hole. The dig stalled, and things only got worse for the last surviving member of the Bokstrom family. In 1999, Bok was attacked and stabbed several times by a disturbed follower, leaving him basically a quadriplegic. Oh. Well, this took a turn. While in the hospital, he had more properties seized and sold to pay off his outstanding debts to various contractors. He recruited a couple of young Indian men that he'd met in Goa to work as his personal helpers and spent the next few years mainly sitting around in the nude at home, smoking pot and banging on about his saga and the root language. Unhappily for Bok, his life ended in 2010 when one of the men who worked for him suddenly murdered him by stabbing him to death. He must have been a pretty difficult man to look after then. The man, who was freed by reason of insanity to return home, said that he had seen a black crow, and then he couldn't remember anything after that. In his call to the emergency services after having killed Bok, the man called him the devil. So, a sad end then for this colourful, eccentric, semen-supping storyteller who died at the age of 68. I don't think it's even really necessary to decode why his saga is not actually likely to be the one true origin of the story of humankind, but let's give it a few sentences in case you're wondering. I feel like we could have, like, the next section is called Decoding the Bok Saga, and I feel we could just have this one as like, really, mate? Thanks for watching, but let's humor Katie. There's a couple more pages. Let's go. The first point is that the whole thing is just coming from this one source, Isle Bok. While there are touchstones in Finnish mythology and similarities to other creation stories, Bok's story is not backed up by anything other than his own chutzpah. Before he came along, nobody was chatting about any of this stuff. Yes, I know it was supposed to be kept secret to avoid being quashed, but Bok wasn't even genetically related to the Bokstrom, so he really had no skin in the game. His older brother wasn't taught the saga. Is this because they already knew he'd die early? In which case, why doesn't that detail feature in the recorded tellings of the saga? Oh my god, could it be? This is not real. Second, Bok had all sorts of funny notions about ice ages, large chambers underground, and the orientation of the Earth, which have no basis in geological or geographical fact. Yeah, mate. He was also like, big statues came out of magma. All right. Third, his root language idea, while quite interesting, again doesn't really mean anything. Swedish is not an old language, so to say it was the origin of anything is not realistic. Finnish is a much older language, but unless you're one of those annoying people who likes to learn obscure languages for the fun of it, it never spread very far outside of Finland, so it's a very niche language to hang the whole history of the world on. According to the website theculturetrip.com, the Finnish language has its origins in the Russian Ural Mountain areas, so it's therefore not the origin of any language itself. The fact that Bok was adamant that Scandinavian alphabet could be used as some sort of story code just means that maybe he hadn't thought the story through very well. Burn. That's what his peers thought, for the most part, too. Basically, Bok was just spouting nonsense for attention, and then he got trapped in a cycle of having to relate it over and over. Maybe he grew to believe it, some of his followers definitely did, but most of the world has never heard of the Bok saga or the man who helpfully tried to bring it to our attention. In later interviews with people, Bok, who seemed to extend this language matrix into modern English, which obviously makes no sense whatsoever if you originally hung your hat on the nail of all languages are descended from the root language. And come on, an ape shagging a goat to make a human? No! Yes, why are you just silly? The saga and search continues. Being that this weird story was just the product of one man's mind, it's still impressive that we're talking about it today. Bok was not yelling into a void. People were actually listening to what he said, and some, at least, were taking it seriously. Sure, the mix of impressionable minds, odd sexual practices, drugs, and a charismatic storyteller who at one point had lots of money meant that the gatherings of some followers was inevitable, but his family story and the story of his own life did manage to live on. Finnish rock band Kingston Wall produced a whole album inspired by Bok's story after founding member Petri Wally met Bok in Goa in 1994. He soon became disillusioned with the so-called mystics' teachings, though, and regretted dedicating a whole album to them. Wally ended up killing himself in 1995. I mentioned Carl Brogan earlier in the episode, as he's one of the main flamekeepers for the Bok saga. Borgen, a historian and writer, was apparently friends with the original core group of people returning to Sipu to try and find the treasure, and has since managed to squeeze four books out of it. One about the Bok saga itself, one about these treasure hunters, and two novels which seem largely based on Finnish mythology and Bok's alternative version of history, so at least someone's reaping the benefits of the whole debacle. No offense, but this guy seems like the History Channel of the Bok saga, doesn't he? You know? Although, the History Channel could definitely make a whole series about this. Spin some money out of this nonsense. Go on, History Channel. Go on. Hey, we haven't quite finished just yet. Remember the cave in Sibu I just mentioned? Yeah, it turns out that a cave full of treasure, apparently worth billions, is quite the itch that people can't stop scratching. Teams of volunteers have been going back to the site every summer for years in the hopes of one day breaking through to the motherlode. As I write this, apparently thousands of people are gearing up to go and excavate the hell out of those caves in the summer of 2022. I mean, that sounds kind of fun. I know there's nothing in there, but it's like, what are we going to do? Dig around in a cave? I'll be like, cool. Sounds fun. It's been slow going up to now, with just a handful of dedicated workers from all over the world regularly visiting the site, and with the caves flooding during the rest of the year, they have to start each season by pumping out over 1.5 million liters of water. Fun, fun, fun. I'm not exactly sure why this year is different, but apparently the group finally feel like they're on the verge of a breakthrough, so naturally all these other greedy layabouts suddenly want to come in the last second to grab some of the glory and the gold for themselves. Who knows, by the time this episode comes out, maybe the Lemminkainen hoard will have been discovered and we'll all be wowed at the treasures found inside, and history as we know it will be turned on its head. But you know, probably not. Yeah, like... No fucking chance. This has been an episode of Decoding the Unknown. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. Decoding the nonsense. The Bok saga, everybody. Goats, apes, incest, auto-fellatio. What a cracker. Leave a review if you liked it, if you're listening to this as a podcast, if you're watching on YouTube. Yes, there's also a video format of this show. Like, subscribe. Thank you for watching. Or listening, of course.
Have you ever stumbled upon a story that's just too weird to be true?
But too intriguing to ignore?
I'm Laura Anderson.
And I'm Tom Reynolds. Together, we're the hosts of Wanna Hear Something Weird?
A new podcast where we venture into the heart of mind-bending mysteries.
From peculiar legends to ghostly encounters, we try to separate fact from fiction.
Join us on a journey into the bizarre. Listen to Wanna Hear Something Weird wherever you get your podcasts.